Hi, welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Ruth, and we're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open. Stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. There are things that can be done that only God can do. And He knows where we are and what we want, what we need and how to provide for those wounds that maybe nobody else can touch. God understands. And the Bible says, "It grieveth me for your sakes that the hand of the Lord's gone out against me." Wow. Just realize this, folks. The struggle is part of it. The scandal is part of it. And God just makes us strong. Somebody has pointed out very well, and most of you have heard the idea, that the winds hitting the tree makes the roots go deeper so it can stand. When you're going through the hard times, your roots need to go deeper. You've got two choices. The Greek word for judgment in the Bible is the Greek word krino. We get the word crisis from it. It means to choose two ways. You see, when you choose, you have to choose two ways. You have to make a judgment. You can't go both ways. You have to go one or the other. And I want you to know that when crisis comes, you can go the wrong way. The old song in the 80s, you can go your own way. You can. And God will let you, just like the prodigal went his own way. When he came to himself in his leanness, he had no money left, all his friends had left, he's feeding pigs, he's ready to eat the slop. He came to himself because he realized something from the struggle. That there is an insanity about going your own way. That you can become like a moth to a flame in going your own way. You can become addicted to going your own way. And then it becomes painful beyond imagining to get yourself freed up. But the answer the prodigal came to was, why do I sit here coveting the slop? I could go to my father. He's got plenty. And he says, I'll tell him this. Father, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Take me as your servant. Because his mind was so clouded, but he knew his father still loved him. But he thought, no, I couldn't even ask him. I said that a minute ago. Can't even ask him. Can't ask you to do this. And when he got home, the Bible tells us that the father ran to him, embraced him, kissed him, put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and a robe around him, killed the fattened calf and had a celebration. And there was never even an opportunity for him to get out of his mouth the words, make me your servant. Listen. God is love. No matter what we go through, no matter how hard it may seem, we need to not make bad choices when the crises come. We need to choose wisely. And I would say to you, as always, choose Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. You know, when you have the way with you, you don't need a GPS. He is the way. Isn't that true? He's sitting right in the seat next to you. So he knows way. You go with his way and you'll find all the peace you need. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. They lifted up their voice. They wept. And she says, it grieves me much. It says that they lifted up their voice and they wept again. So again, we're in that struggle area. How hard is it to weep? You know, one thing we just somehow, in this generation especially, we don't want to cry. You know, I cry. Do you cry? I hope you cry sometimes. Somebody says, if you don't cry, your head will explode. You know, and you feel that sometimes. You're holding it back so much. So what we understand is we understand that these women are two in number, which really represent a crisis, right? They got to choose to go back to home or to go with this woman they've known for a number of years now. And the Bible says that Orpah kissed her mother-in-law in verse 14, and she went back. But Ruth clave unto her. Ruth clave unto her. Remember what her name means? Friendship. The Bible says, a brother is born for adversity, and there is a friend that sticketh even closer than a brother. Most commentators like to connect that to Jesus, and I think that's good to do. Greater love has no man than this, than he laid down his life for his friends, right? For his what? For his friends. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And the Bible says that Naomi looks at her and says in verse 15, behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. She's not thinking straight at this point. And you know, it says, when a man is full of sorrow, his words are as the wind. Now listen, when somebody's going through something and they're saying, why did God do that? And I can't believe, don't tell them, well, all things work together. No, that's not what they need to hear right then. What they need, I understand. Give them a hug. Their words are as the wind. They're just kind of breathing. They're just trying to, you know, think it through. Don't rebuke, reprove, and exhort somebody who's downcast and grieving and broken. That is not the time nor the place for such things. And I say that because she says she's going back to her gods. You go back to your gods. Now, the reason this is really pertinent for us is because the Bible says in verse 16 that Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God. Now, this happened because Ruth was paying attention. She was watching Naomi lose Elimelech. She was watching her stay with her sons nearby. She was watching this woman cope and lean upon the Lord. The Bible says in verse 17, where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried, the Lord. Do so to me and more also, if anything but death part thee and me. This is Ruth saying, the Lord. That's the covenantal name for God. When the Bible says in verse 18, when Naomi saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her, that word means that she was strong, she was alert, and she was courageous. I like that. Because that's what it takes to truly know God. You shall seek me and you shall find me when you search for me with all of your heart. You know, this half measure thing about coming to church. Oh, I just want to put my toe in the water. Maybe I'll find a religion somewhere that suits me, or I'll let my children make up their own minds. Listen, that just doesn't wash. You have to be courageous. You have to make a decision. You have to cast in your lot with somebody. Even CSN, Crosby, Stills, and Nash said, you got to believe in something. You got to. They know it. The world knows it. And they will pay the price and they will do it with their eyes in their head. And they know. And you and I are living in a day where people are really ambivalent. There's an ambivalence in relationships, the living together thing. There's an ambivalence about gender, for crying out loud. Look in the mirror, you know. What are you? Doctor knew. Now they're letting the parents put in, I'm not sure yet. We'll let him decide when he gets old enough if it's a boy or a girl. Listen, we are living in strange days, are we not? We've lost the plot and we are in big, big trouble, and our kids especially are. The Bible says that this woman was courageous. Listen, the word that got my attention was alert. She's been watching Naomi. She knows what's going on. We in our Sunday school class this morning, we're talking about how do we witness to some of these people who are way out in left field. Now, you and I, we may once in a while come across that, but some of their friends are in the thick of it right now. They're having kids, and their kids are having, their friends are having kids, and they're making decisions that are like, what? And people they're working with, and they're under authority of people that are in the out in the weeds somewhere. And we concluded that it's about being a light in their presence more than it is to go face to face. We have to be loving to them. They are doing what people do who are what you might call caught up in some sort of a vortex where they just haven't really been able to unravel the mysteries of life because of so many things being thrown at them, many times at a very early age. We just need to love them like we would love somebody who was caught up in something of a false religion, a cult or something. We need to kind of love them. We can't necessarily unprogram them at the gate. But if they see it, maybe they'll be alert enough to see it. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we want to do that, don't we? Don't we want to do that? That means being unreproachable, blameless, without blame. Bible talks about, you know, you are as lights shining, Philippians tells us, and luminaries. You hold forth the word of life through your life. Not everybody had a Bible back in those days, so you get to be the epistle seen and read of men. Well, the Bible says that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, and then she left off speaking to her. So we've seen some struggles here, right? I'll tell you, we've seen some scandal, right? Struggles, scandal. But there has to be submission. And the Bible says that this is where it begins to happen. What we're having is Naomi is beginning to submit to what's going on. You know what? Life is like, if you could imagine these chairs being, you know, the sides of a big, you know, ditch of some sort. And everybody's walking in the ditch. You can't see, you know, what's going on either side because the walls of the ditch are too high. She can't see what God's doing. But you know, His thoughts for her are thoughts of peace. And to give her a hope. And His thoughts are that way for you and for me too. He is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? You say, yeah, but what a bunch of garbage she's had to deal with. Yes, I know. I got to say, it breaks my heart to be able not to have the right words in certain circumstances. I wish I could just say what's going to happen, like a prophet. Oh, look, if I could just, nothing's going to help right there. It's just about putting it in autopilot and says, I am not changing my course. I'm just going to take a minute. And that minute may be weeks, months, or years, but you need to take a minute and you need to keep going forward for Jesus. It doesn't mean you got to go witness, but if somebody comes to you, you might find when you're in your emptiness, completely, completely devastated and sidelined in your spirit, and somebody comes up and they need to know about Jesus, that was a gift from God. And suddenly you're witnessing to somebody and they're getting saved. You're like, man, and you're laughing on one side and you're crying on the other and you look really stupid. But you know, it's good because God does that stuff. And you're weeping, you're laughing, you're hurting, you're crying, you're in bed, you're up, you're down. Listen, that is it. Naomi. This book has been called by some the book of Job for women. She lost her husband. She lost her sons. Now she's losing her daughters-in-law. But then not so much because friendship kind of bleeds through. And she submits to it. Okay, you can come along. And you know one thing about a friend on the road is they make you behave yourself. You might get up and pray when you wouldn't have got up and pray anyway because your friend is there. And I want to say to you that that is a good thing. Iron sharpens iron as a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And we are living in a generation where we are devoid of that kind of close connection. But here she gets it. And sometimes it's in the deprivations and in the struggles that you really find that kind of a friend. And the Bible says, so they two went in verse 19 and they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they came to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Now, can I just say this? When I read this, I first of all wanted to say, I'll not leave you. Don't entreat me to leave you. Because I like to find the gospel in a chapter. This, I think, is more the gospel. Because for me, it tends to make me think of how the angels must have looked at this world. And, you know, Adam, created, you know, perfect, innocent, wonderful, awesome. You know, the Bible says that when God created Adam, the stars sang. And many believe that's the angels sang. That's in Job chapter 38. It says, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Yeah, they were looking at man and they were saying, whoa, this is amazing. It's amazing. But then what they must have thought when the flood came. The world is peopled probably several billion. I've heard some people postulate that there might have been more billions then than now because they didn't die as readily. And as that population grew, it didn't diminish at the same thing. It was just growing. And then when they saw that entire generation, they must have shuddered. Think about it. And then there's one. His name's Noah. There's one. He's got his sons and his daughters-in-law and his wife.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.